Thank you very much. Jimmy Dore knows how to laugh at a joke. Isn't that right? Jimmy Dore here is here in the studio. You might know him from his many appearances on
the Late Late Show on CBS, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and the Half Hour Comedy Central
there
special.
There you go. Or you might know him from seeing him live at Poppin' Politics at the UCB Theater. That's a monthly show, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, I do it the second Thursday of every month.
So here's a good question for you. We were talking about this in our special pre-show that we had tonight about this woman, this Linda LaRocca, who was apparently, according to her, she's suing her ex-employer for firing her because she had an Air America bumper, or a Progressive Talker, just the KLSD bumper sticker on her car. And she was doing some business with her boss in a parking lot at a grocery store. I don't know what the hell kind of business that was, but I'm going to take her word for it. And apparently her boss said that Al Franken left-wing radical radio station, you could be a member of Al-Qaeda, you're fired. Let's go with what she's saying, because I've had this experience. I know what it's like to be judged for political views, and certainly with the war, it's happening all over culture right now. More people are against the president. His poll ratings, I'm sure you know, are about
37%.
No, 33 today.
Oh, really?
In a Pew poll, he's down to 33, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
And the Democrats still can't get on the Russ Feingold bill to censor him for illegally wiretapping.
That's right. I think five of them did. I think Barbara Boxer's on, Harkin's on. I think John Kerry's going to jump on.
Wow, bold.
After 2 days, after Feingold gets out there and says, you bastards, don't you understand they're down and this is our turn to take this issue by the horns here?
No, talking about getting judged, the reason I got into comedy is I like to make fun of authority.
Absolutely.
And I was doing some George Bush jokes in Houston once because I'm brilliant. And I got my favorite heckle I ever got in my whole career. This guy, and this is a quote, this guy yells at me, he's protecting your freedom of speech, now shut the hell up, buddy.
That is a good one.
I was caught in a riddle.
That's a good one.
Very clever heckler. And the guy got right in my face, and I didn't even know people still said this, but he goes, hey, it's America, love it or leave it.
Unbelievable. I had a similar situation happen. You know, Houston's an interesting place, because when you do comedy in Houston, they have a type of Bush hater there that goes way further back than most of us,
because
the people that hate Bush hated him when he was governor.
For personal reasons.
So they really, that guy stole my blow. But it's interesting. But I got a similar thing, not too long after 9/11, I was doing comedy in New York, and I was talking about the president. I was talking about the war, and someone just stood up and literally said, well, why don't you go over there and live with them? What? And I said, where? And he goes, Afghanistan. I'm like, well, they wouldn't even get my jokes there. But, and he turned out to be a Marine, and he was bitter because now he had no idea when he was coming home. But that sentiment, it's true. And as you said before we got on the show today, it's not something that I've heard in my lifetime, because I know it was there in the 60s around Vietnam.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's come back around. And the weird thing is, like, people say to me, well, this is the same guy said to me, he goes, well, why are you making fun of George Bush? And I said, because I like to make fun of authority. He goes, well, why don't you make fun of the Democrats? Because I like to make fun of authority.
Yeah, they're not really in the driver's seat right now.
They're not. They're not very good at what they do.
Yeah, who, the Democrats?
The Democrats. They're not. They couldn't even beat George Bush twice.
Well, that's right. And I think one of the problems is, aside from not having a collective vision or really honoring democratic principles, is that you have a certain number of them, and you know who they are, Al Lieberman. You know who they are. You know, the ones who...
Were Republicans and Democrats,
right?
Clothing?
They call themselves moderates, but really they don't honor any of it. Spacing his name?
Joe Lieberman.
I said, yeah. Al, and it was like bothering me. I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm looking at Al Franken's name, but Joe Lieberman, Hillary Clinton a little bit, but Clinton's a little different.
Well, even with, it's very, and I don't like to throw the term around loosely, but even with Schwarzenegger,
mm-hmm.
he was very popular to the common man. And what he really was a tool of corporations and protected the moneyed interests while he tried to break the working man's unions. And you know what they say? When fascism comes to America, it will look like anti-fascism. And you know what I say?
What?
What does fascism mean? Because I've been hearing it a lot lately.
Apparently it was popular in the 30s.
Yes. Yeah. I actually did. I heard people saying that. I'm like, what does that mean?
It's a line of clothing, a very aggressive line of clothing.
Yeah, for fascists by fascists.
So now look, you know,
it's FFFF.
Exactly. So now let's talk about this ports deal. It seems that that the Dubai, the DP, the Dubai, the Dubai owned company, I'm stuttering all over the place, DP World, has agreed to let an American company do this. They're going to do it within 4 to 6 months. They're going to sell off the interest in the ports to an American company. It might be the Carlyle Group, which is an equity investment, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, cooperative, that has about $8 billion of Dubai's money anyways, and it involves James Baker and it involves Bush. So they might just funnel that money into a company that is a front company for a Dubai company, and maybe they're just hoping we'll all get bored of thinking about this. What do you make of the whole thing?
Well, I'm glad that Dubai pulled out, so because now the ports are all secure.
Yeah, don't you feel
Everything's
better?
Everything's fantastic.
Apparently they asked comedians to do it, so I've got to shift it at one. I go down to the port in Long Beach.
Carrot Top has the equipment.
Yeah,
he can really monitor that stuff.
Yeah, he does. He's got I think he's got a plunger that can actually see into those cargo crates.
Yes,
yeah.
And then he can scare any terrorists away with
his red hair.
Yes.
Yeah, he's gotten a little scary looking now.
People have emailed me pictures of him nude.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the weird thing about Carrot Top is now he's getting old. He's got that weird hair, and
he's doing the Joe Piscopo thing.
Right, he's all buff and ripped, and it's it's like seeing Ronald McDonald on steroids.
Yes,
it's like strange.
Oh, that's
man.
Exactly what it's like.
He was frightening looking to begin with, and his act was always a little frightening. But you know, he played the happy moron. There has to be a happy moron around.
Yes,
and look what I have. It's a hat, but no, it's not. It's a toilet. But the last time I saw him, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't say it to him, but you got to stop doing whatever you're doing because you look freakish.
You got to stop doing.
And I wasn't talking about his act.
Yeah, you know? No, he's ripped. Yeah. He's actually ripped now. But getting back to the ports and the whole issue and I don't know how much you know about me, Mark, but I'm the kind of guy who can get into an argument over the bankruptcy reform bill at a barbecue and just clear the place. I did that this last past summer.
Don't you understand? It's just making the bankruptcy courts collection agency for the credit card companies. You're that guy?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Oh, good.
And I got into it with an L.A. cop.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
And what happened?
Well, first of all, just let me say, the way I describe it is they say at any given time, 40 to 50 million Americans don't have health coverage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people get sick, and then they can't pay their medical bills. And in fact, they did a study. Half of all personal bankruptcies can be attributed to an illness. So the Congress and the president got together and they decided to make it harder to declare bankruptcy.
Sure.
So that ought to fix that.
That's right. Go ahead and die, you sick bastards.
That's what the day I stopped being a Democrat.
Right.
Because they signed on to that bill too. I mean, it's really the saying of the Republicans and Republican light. It's not just a saying. It's for real, you know. And
they're all playing in the same pool. Joe Biden is bought and owned by the credit card industry out there in Delaware.
Yeah, and so now people who get sick, instead of giving them health coverage, we make sure that we can track you down until you're dead, and then you'll have to pay. And people go, you know, we have the best. Why is it that the Canadians always come here when they're sick? I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of tripping over Canadians when I go to Cedars-Sinai.
Always. They're lining up outside like they do for the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, damn Canadians. If I can't even get in line at the Rite Aid because there's so many Canadians.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
We had to throw some out today.
Is that the biggest bogus argument you've ever heard about healthcare? Look, Canadians are coming. No, they're not.
Their system doesn't even work either.
Yes, it does.
It works well enough.
It works. First of all, you're not going to go broke if you get sick.
You got people in this country that are afraid to go to the emergency room because they're going to have to pay money. They'd rather sit at home, and that's what it exacerbates health situations when you're sitting there going, I don't want to go to the doctor yet. Now, I think anybody would do that out of fear, but you cross a line to where you know that, like, this thing, I'm not supposed to have a leg here. You know when something's growing out of you that isn't supposed to be growing out of you, and you might want to go see a doctor, but you're like, I'll treat it with something. We had a friend that did that, and he died.
Really?
Yeah, we knew a guy who had a medical problem that he refused to go to the doctor for because he didn't have health coverage when he should have. And because of that, it exacerbated a condition, a pre-existing condition. He died.
Well, that's
that, sucker.
Well, that is funny. That is pretty good.
Oh,
and John Lennon was killed. Let's do some comedy.
Yeah, how about that? Man, I think I got bird flu and mad cow at the same time. Let's get into the funny stuff. So, but there is a, you know, what things are most bothering you right now? Are you concerned about Iran, my friend?
I'm concerned about our reaction to Iran. I saw John Bolton today say that Iran is 9/11 with nuclear weapons. And it's like the scare tactics never stop. They're never going to end. And, you know, it's Bush screwed up with India. It's like you rewarded India. Mm-hmm. And now so the hardliners in Iran are going to be even harder lined, right? I mean, is there a foreign policy that they cannot screw up, this administration?
Oh, no. They want to create complete chaos and then just, you know, get their companies to rebuild things. Will you stay with us for a minute,
yes,
Jimmy?
Yes, certainly.
We're talking to Jimmy Dore. He is a comedian. You can see him at the UCB Theater monthly at Poppin' Politics, which is a show. You look for him on Comedy Central.
Hey, they can see, can I say where they can see a preview of the show if
sure.
they want? It's MySpace/Poppin' Politics Show.
There you go. We'll be back with him in just a second. It is 19 past the hour.
Coming up next, we're going to laugh at dead people. That's Mort Mortensen's Weekly Remembrance. Now back to a man who just had a massive oil spill on his couch, Mark Maron.
Wait, what, did you see that?
I heard it in the news.
All right.
Google News.
All right. We're talking to Jimmy Dore, comedian/commentator. You can go see his stuff at myspace.com/poppinpoliticsshow. We've linked it on the website at markmaron.com, MarcMaron. In just a little while, we're going to be talking to a couple of filmmakers out there at South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas. We're going to talk to the filmmakers behind The Big Buy, How Tom DeLay Stole Congress. That'll be happening in a few minutes. Mort Mortensen's going to be here in a few minutes. But right now, you guys are talking about this show, Boston Legal. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I never watch it, but I've heard several people mention last night's episode today.
James Spader gave a very moving soliloquy in in a courtroom scene. His assistant didn't pay her taxes to protest what the government has been doing from the weapons of mass destruction to Abu Ghraib to the spying. And so he was defending her as she's, making a statement. And so he gave this long speech about how when the weapons of mass destruction proved to be untrue, I thought there would be marches. There weren't. When we were torturing people at Abu Ghraib, I thought the college campuses would rise up. They didn't even notice. When they're spying on me and you, I thought for sure now nothing. And he gave this long, and it was just like so right. And so, you know, James Spader, he's amazing. And it gave me chills, and it just made me want to come on your show and talk about it.
Well, you know what's interesting in thinking about that and hearing that response and in knowing that that exists? I think that people are so accessorized, and they've completely accessorized their narcissism to a point where they literally do not think that this stuff has an effect on them. Like college kids, do you know how long it takes? That's nice. That's a very nice choice on the cell phone there, Jimmy. Is that your cell phone?
Let me see. Oh, yes, it is.
That's sweet. You know, it's something very... See, that's exactly it. You took time to find that ring.
Right when you're saying that.
Right. There are college kids sitting there programming their iPods, trying to figure out how they can TiVo something, getting on the blog. Is that there is so much stuff that encourages us to be self-centered, that we are the emperors of these small technological universes that just don't include political action, unless you happen to be one of those type of bloggers or what have you. But I think by and large, the culture at large is just completely self-centered, and you have to break through.
We're being distracted during an Armageddon is what's happening.
But so effectively distracted, it's profound.
Yes.
That the levels of distraction are multifaceted, multi-layered, and many, more than any ever time.
Do you have a BlackBerry?
Before.
Do you have a BlackBerry?
I don't.
I don't either.
I'm avoiding it because I can't handle the texting. Look, I've got, you know, after I slowly started to realize as I got older, it's like, look, I don't have that many songs and I don't want to get that many more. And you know what? Three people call me. So now I have one of these old phones that doesn't take, I have to go through six steps to get a text message. And every time I've done it, it's the same guy and he's just saying, dude, call me. All right. And I know that's how it starts. That's the virus that infects you with the need to get a BlackBerry, but I haven't wanted to do it.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it.
No, I'm resisting. I'm resisting. I was in a meeting today, and a guy was talking to me the whole time, just looking at his BlackBerry, and and then to see someone answer one. Have you seen that? Like, just put it right to their head, like you're putting a little typewriter.
Right. Up? So you know, enter this in the conversation. They're looking at their BlackBerry. They put it to their head, and you're like, Abu Ghraib. How come we're not doing something? You know, unless you're, working for the neocon death cult and you're like, we're trying to make it go away.
Yeah, right. We're trying to make people stop talking about it.
Exactly.
We're getting the pictures off the internet and, Yeah.
The best moment I ever had with the BlackBerry is I'm sitting there with my agent and my manager. Okay. My manager is on his BlackBerry. My agent takes a call on his and he says, I'm sorry, but, you know, he was doing it. And then my manager looks up and says, I'm not on the BlackBerry. I'm playing a game. And I'm like, oh, great. So the meeting's really going well. Like somehow or another, like, that's, oh, that's good that
that's
we're having
okay,
a conversation about my future and you're involved in a game.
That's a checkmate.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, I had no idea that you had been doing comedy as long as you have. How long have you? Because I went to find you, and I realized that we've probably been doing it. How long have you been doing it?
My first open mic was in 1989.
Okay.
And I started in Chicago, which was a very good place to start comedy because you can get a lot of stage time. And as you know, that's the only thing that makes you better.
Absolutely. I started in, my first open mic was like 84. So you're going to be in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I'll be in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Main Street Comedy Club. And it's a great time out there. It actually is a very progressive kind of little community.
I love Ann Arbor.
And they have the 420 every year. Everybody has the big pot smoke thing and...
The pot smoke thing. That was so funny that you're like, we were talking about somebody you know out there, and you're like, he's cool. He's older and he smokes pot. He's cool. And I'm like, that's exactly what cool means. If you look up cool, anyone older who smokes pot definitely is one of the definitions of cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, I used to be a much angrier young man when I started comedy. And now when people are like, yeah, Jimmy's really mellow. Yeah, I started smoking pot when I turned 32.
Oh,
yeah, kind of takes the edge off.
I'm off all of them. Now I just, you know, I just thrive on the resentment and anger and then hate myself for doing it. Well, it's great for you to stop by. I know you got to catch a red eye.
Thank you for having me in. It was a blast.
Why don't we do it again soon?
Love to.
All right, Jimmy Dore, comedian, commentator, off to Ann Arbor. We'll be back with Mort Morton. Stay with us. It's 30 past or so.